Good morning. We're going to continue our series on God's abundance today. As you can see from our website, we've covered a number of topics where God just doesn't give us things. He gives us lots of them. And we're going to talk today about God's righteousness and how unbelievably abundant His righteousness is towards us. As you know, in much of Christianity, they will tell you you're righteous through Christ and then give you a big long list of things to do to earn your righteousness. And you do one thing they don't like, and they tell you you're not righteous anymore. That's a common occurrence. Well, as we'll see in the scriptures, and as many of you have read already, that is not the way God operates. God makes us righteous, and we are righteous. Absolutely 100%. Not through our works, but through the work of Jesus Christ. But getting that into our heads that we're really righteous and living it every day can take a little bit more mental effort. But the righteousness itself is completely paid for. There is nothing you could do to not be righteous before God. And before I start, let me say that the two words righteousness and justification come from the same Greek word. Because Jesus Christ justified us, the result is we are righteous. It's like if you cleaned the dishes would be clean. That's the same verb, but in English we have two different words. We are justified, means to be made righteous. So you'll see the word justified and the word righteousness show up. And the word justified is interesting. People have come up with cute little puns about it, like to be justified means it's just as if I never sinned. And it's true, because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. And righteousness is a word that William Tyndale came up with when he was making one of the first translations of the Bible into English. He came up with it because he felt when you're righteous, you're basically right with God. There's no conflict between you. We know what it is to be right with a person. When you get along, you see eye to eye, there's no disagreement. And we also know what it's like to not be right with somebody and have big disagreements and fights and arguments. Well, when it comes to us and God, we are right with God. Not through our works, but through the work of Jesus Christ. So because we've been justified, we are right with God. So you'll see the word justified and the word righteous show up over and over today. Let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll sort of get a running start, as I like to do in many teachings, starting back how these words are used in the Old Testament in the law administration, then moving ahead to how they're used today in the administration of the grace of God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, we read, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he commandeth us." So that's their righteousness, if they do the law, if they carry out everything God says. And as we know from other parts of the scripture, and as we'll see today, there's no person alive, except Jesus Christ, who was able to fully carry out the law. Because it says in the word that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. Happens to all of us. It's just the way we are. We're not perfect. So to have a standard where the only way to be righteous is to perfectly carry out the word of God, that's something people are not good at, which is why God sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, to pay for our righteousness. But being righteous is really cool. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. And verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous," those that are right with God, "they're bold as a lion," because they're right with God. They know God will come to their aid. They know God will back them up. They know no matter how big of a mess they get into, God will be there and won't let them fail. That's why the righteous can be bold as a lion. By the way, the first part of the verse reminds me of a question my grandfather asked me years ago. He asked me, "What are the two smallest insects in the Bible?" And one of them was the wicked flea. That's a bit of a pun. Anyway, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, those that are right with God, they are bold as a lion. Look at Proverbs 18. Back up a few verses there. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, those that are right with God, runneth into it and is safe. What another great thing. The name of the Lord's a strong tower, a safe place. It used to be that that was the safest kind of thing. Today we want to have a bunker that's 8 stories underground, and we want to have fighter jets and aircraft carriers protecting us. And no, that's all cool today. That's all part of modern warfare. But in old days, if you had a really strong tower, you could go in and pull the ladder up. That was about as safe a fortress as you have. Well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, those that are right with God, they run into it and are safe. And then go to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32. We read here in verse 17. The work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. When righteousness goes to work in your life, the result is peace. And the effect of righteousness on your life will be quietness and assurance forever. So if you want peace in your life, if you want quietness and assurance, you need to be right with God. And we are right with God through the work of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Now we'll switch ahead to the New Testament, this age of grace in which we live, and we'll read about how we obtain righteousness today. Acts 13 and verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified or made righteous from all things from which you could not be justified or made righteous by the law of Moses. It's obviously in a context talking about Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, everybody that believes in him, which we do, they're made righteous from all things from which you couldn't be made righteous by the law of Moses. So the law did lay out the rules for how to become righteous by carrying out the law. But since people aren't perfect and didn't do it, they didn't end up at the level of righteousness which they could attain. But through Jesus Christ, we do. Let's read more about this. Romans chapter 3. And I'll try to even avoid puns about Roman through the Bible. But I guess I just did. Reminds me of the time I was at the doctor recently, and this nice woman was drawing blood because the doctor likes to test it every year to make sure I'm still alive, which is her job. She does a good job at that. And this nice woman was drawing blood, and I said, "Well, I know you're drawing my blood, but I'll try not to make any vampire jokes." And she said, "Too late." I thought it was funny. Anyway, we've roamed through our Bible, and now we're at Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made righteous in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest or revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What is it? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, by believing in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Talking about the difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, the Judeans like to say they were perfect and the Gentiles were terrible. And it's true, the Judeans did have a covenant with God, but in the new covenant, everybody's equal because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So being of the tribe of Issachar or the tribe of Judah made no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the righteousness of God by the faith or believing of Jesus Christ, that's what brings us righteousness. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified or made righteous by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So now, of course, this was Abraham was before the law. The law came much later with Moses. But even in the Old Testament times, God looked at the heart and the believing. And all the law really did was point out where people had shortcomings. But the righteousness came from believing God. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith or believing is counted for righteousness. So it's our believing that is counted for righteousness. God looks that we believe him, and he counts that for righteousness. And that was true even in the time of Abraham. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I remember vividly what chair I was sitting in high school the day I first read this, and how shocked I was, because I thought I'd have to carry out all these Old Testament laws to get right with God. And I know I wasn't very good at it, and I always made mistakes. So when I read this section, I was greatly relieved. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? We have peace with God. You have peace with God. Not because of what you did, but because Jesus Christ gave his life for you, and then you simply believed it. That's why it says we're justified or made righteous by believing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by faith or believing, into this grace wherein we stand. Not law, not condemnation, but grace. Grace is God's divine favor. Grace is where he gives us stuff just because he loves us, not because we earned it or deserve it. I think of babies. We were praying for Julie's granddaughter earlier in the session today. Babies don't deserve anything. They haven't earned anything, but we still treat them like kings. We feed them, we pamper them, we take care of them, we coo at them, just because we love them. Well, you know, once they get to maybe a little older, you sort of expect them to go get a job and pay the rent. But when they're younger, nothing. You just be kind to them because you love them. Well, that's the way God is towards us. That's his grace towards us. So, by whom also, verse 2, we have access by faith, by believing, into this grace, this divine favor wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations or mental pressure, knowing that tribulation, mental pressure, works or produces patience. When you have mental pressure and you simply choose to hang in there and believe God, you end up getting very patient because you know God will come through for you. And this patience produces experience. You go through things, and after you've been through things a couple times, they don't shock you, and the experience produces hope. Hope is just a positive expectation that things are going to work out. Because you've been through stuff, you've seen God come through, and you just get to where things don't faze you so much. And hope, this positive expectation, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, maybe for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait till people were perfect, then send them a Savior. If they were that perfect, they wouldn't have needed the Savior. God sent the Savior when we as humans needed it. And we still need a Savior, and we still need the righteousness we have that he paid for. That's why we have peace with God. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess, acknowledge with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, acknowledge him as your Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt what? Be saved. Be delivered. Have eternal life. For with the heart, man, what? Believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We don't earn our righteousness, like it said in Deuteronomy, by carrying out the law. We earn it by believing in the tremendous accomplishments of Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead. We believe unto righteousness, and we confess him as Lord, which is what brings us salvation, eternal life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's made unto us righteousness. He's like the embodiment of righteousness in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ did not sin, but he took upon himself our sins. It's like, let's say you had never had a library fine or a traffic ticket, and I had a dozen of each, and you went down and paid them off. Well, you would have taken upon yourself all of my burdens. Well, Jesus Christ did that, but much beyond library fines and fines and traffic tickets. He did it with for our entire lives. So let's read that again. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a great way of saying it. We're just not made righteous. We're made the righteousness of God. Some people do something so well, they become the epitome of it. You might have a guy in town who sponsors all your Little League teams and works like crazy on the committee to set them up, and he might be known as Mr. Little League, or somebody else who really does a lot in the community or in your state or in some group you're in and just gets a title of Mr. Little League or Mr. Baseball or Mr. Community or Mr. City Hall. And that's great if that's what people do and they help in that way. Well, we have something greater than that. We are made the righteousness of God. We are the epitome of God's righteousness because of what Jesus Christ did. Galatians chapter 2. As you know, Galatians reiterates many of the things in Romans because the Galatians had sort of gotten flaky and off track, and Galatians will reiterate even stronger some of the things written in Romans. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law. We're not made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith, the believing of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be made righteous by the believing of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or made righteous. Pretty clear. It's Jesus Christ believed God and earned our righteousness. Then we believe in what he accomplished. It's just that simple. Not the works of the law. Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, if you still want to go back and live under the law and tell everybody around you to follow the law and get mad when they don't follow the law, you're frustrating the grace of God. It'd be like if you went to your grandma's house and she worked all day long making you the best Christmas dinner imaginable, or you came over for your birthday and she made your favorite meal, your favorite flavor of cake, had everything just perfect for you, and you brought in a bag of McDonald's and sat down at the table and ate it. You'd be frustrating the cooking of Grandma, because she went to all that trouble to make you the perfect meal, and you brought in something which may not be terrible, but it's nowhere up to the level of what Grandma made. Well, for people to deny the grace of God through the accomplished works of Jesus Christ and think they can do better, which many, many people do, and they get very prideful about how they follow the law and they never sin. Well, according to this, they're frustrating the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you carried McDonald's into Grandma's house when she cooked you a big meal, she cooked in vain. She wasted all that time, effort, materials, and all the heart she put into it just so you could sit there with your Big Mac. Have your Big Mac if you want, but not on the day she made your dinner. That's not a good idea. Christ is dead in vain. So, Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified or made righteous by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Keep your finger there and go back to Romans. I think that's also in Romans 1. I think that's the verse that started the Reformation. A Benedictine monk named Martin Luther was very discouraged, concerned that he was no longer trusting God, as the term is often used, thought he was losing his faith. Then he was assigned to teach the book of Romans in his monastery. And he got up to about, where is it? Let's go to verse 16, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or Gentile. For therein, verse 17, is revealed from faith, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And according to biographies of Martin Luther, when he saw that verse, it changed his entire life, and he realized he didn't have to be perfect, he just had to trust God. And that got him going towards away from the doctrines and religious traditions and confinement of what the church taught, and freed him up to just read the scriptures, trust them, and believe God. He also, I think it was he, but it was somebody in the Reformation, came up with the Latin term sola scriptura, which is simply Latin for only the scriptures. That became his authority, not the many, many church doctrines. And that's something we have to keep track of, because every group, and I hope ours doesn't do it, but we're human, so it might happen. Every group, over time, gets away from the scriptures themselves and ends up with their own doctrines, their own teachings, their own laws, their own rules. They pick out things that they like and say they're okay. They pick out things they don't like and say they're evil. And it all comes down to the word of man. It gets away from the word of God. Whereas what we have to strive to do is always come back to what the scriptures say. Anyway, that was a bit of a divergence. Let's go back to Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just, the righteous ones, shall live by believing. That's the only way to live. Sure, we want to live the scriptures, and we want to read them, we want to try to do what they say, but you can follow all of the rules and everything, and if you don't simply love God and believe God, it won't matter. It just becomes a religion where you're going through the motions with no heart in it. The number one thing to do is put the word of God on your heart and love God and believe God, and the rest of the details in your life will just work out. The just shall live by faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians 3 and verse 9. And be found in him. Let's go back to verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things, talking about all his great experience, because he had all the blue blood Judean credentials to be the Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he says, verse 8 of Philippians 3, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want to pretend that the righteousness I have of the law is what matters, but instead that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So even a guy like him that probably came as close to carrying out the Old Testament law completely as anybody in his generation, he said, I don't want to be found having that righteousness. That's nothing compared to the righteousness we have by believing in what Jesus Christ did. The righteousness which is of God by faith. And then because of that, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4 to close here. Hebrews chapter 4, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we are righteousness through the grace of God, not through our own works or accomplishments. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne, not of works, not of the law, not of us pretending we're perfect when we're not, but let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We all have times of need. For some of us, it's every day. For others of us, it's every other day. For others of us, it's once a month. But we all have times of great need where we really need help. And at those times, we want to find grace. We want to find God's divine favor to help in time of need. We want to obtain mercy. Mercy is like the opposite of grace. Grace is when God gives you good stuff you don't deserve. Mercy is when God withholds judgment and punishment you do deserve. And God has plenty of both. He gives us good stuff we didn't earn, and he withholds judgment and punishment from us that we really do deserve because he has mercy. So let us therefore come boldly under the throne of God's divine favor that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, righteousness is the God-given justification, which can also be called freedom from the penalties of sin. Righteousness is the God-given justification whereby a person stands in the presence of God without any consciousness of sin, guilt, or shortcomings. Because we have been justified, we are righteous. The whole world is trying to earn righteousness by their own deeds, which they can never do. We have the joy of walking in the righteousness which he already accomplished for us by his perfect, accomplished believing as our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints that are with us on the phone and those that will hear this teaching on the website in the future. But mostly I thank you for your wonderful love for us, for the wonderful work of your Son Jesus Christ in obtaining our righteousness through his sinless life and taking our sins upon him. I thank you for the joy of being able to go to your word and just revel in how great you are and how kind you are and how much you care for us. I pray for everybody here in the fellowship that the week ahead will be full of trusting you, looking to you, rejoicing in our righteousness, rejoicing in your love, your grace, mercy, and peace. May we have wonderful days focusing on your word, praying, expecting your blessings, and seeing your power live in our lives every day. Thank you for this and the joy of walking with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.